We are continuing this series, showing off God's faithfulness, which can be seen if we would look. This is a message for the church, for God's church, that is, for the people that belong to God, our Father. This message is almost an hour long, so those of you on shortwave, if you want, if God has put in your heart to hear His word, you can hear the whole message at thegodschool.com. Well, welcome back to the God School. We have been declaring for these many years the basis of the Christian faith and the good news of God, that in Jesus Christ, we are a new creation. The Christian declares by the Word of God that we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Is it blind faith that we walk? It is not, for God, through His Word, has demonstrated and given us evidence that we may have all confidence in His promises. And this series that we are in, we are attempting through God's Word to show off His promises that He, as Numbers 23:19 says, He does as He says. I would that those many gatherings which are called Christians would come to the understanding of what God has declared through His Word. I'm going to make a bold statement here. There is that part in the church, so-called, called prophecy preachers, who are talking about end times. And I'm going to make this statement: if they have not a grasp of the truth of God's Word, which he has revealed, which he has preserved, if they don't understand that in this series about these truths, they're not teachers of God's word. And those who put confidence in them are leading them astray. Now, look, I'm not here to point fingers. Jesus said, leave them alone. Let the blind lead the blind, that they all may wind up in the ditch. My job as a pastor, one who is called to feed God's flock, is to feed with the word. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said that man may not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we are telling a story. God's story to show off his faithfulness. Contrary to so much teaching in the church, I tell you, if the choosing and calling of God is made manifest unto you, you will have adversity in this life and circumstance will present itself which will attempt to deny the veracity of God's word. But as we go through this story, I hope it is our purpose that your confidence in God, as demonstrated by his faithfulness, will grow unto a point where we, in acting on the promises of God, can say, in spite of circumstance, amen. Best translated, no doubt. When it comes to his promises, to his faithfulness, to his person. Now, excuse me. in understanding of God's word, we encounter in the Old Testament four books: 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. We spoke last week of the two families, of the house of Israel and the house of Judah. If you don't understand that, you cannot understand that which God has made available to us, that our faith might be firm unto the end. Now, Kings is written from the northern tribes, the kingdom of Israel, the synonymous names, house of Joseph, house of Ephraim, Samaria, at the same time of history recorded in Kings is recorded in Chronicles, but its perspective is written from the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. And in their perspective, a key phrase in understanding an awful lot about God's word, it says in the fifth chapter of 1 Chronicles, first verse, it says, "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's." We read in the 48th and 49th chapters of Genesis of the blessings which Israel gave to his 12 sons, and of Joseph, his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, it says of them that his name, that is Israel, shall be upon them. And we need, and we are, looking at the birthright. Now, for the next, I don't know how many series, we are going to begin to enumerate promises of God which manifest the birthright, that is, those promises that God made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, whom God changed his name to Israel, being perpetual promises, and as those promises manifest themselves throughout history, things which can be seen if one will take the blinders of traditions of men off, that through this birthright people, not only God's faithfulness, but his control of history will be made manifest. Look, this Christian life carries with it many promises that are not to be fulfilled until we in eternity are found in Jesus Christ. How do I say this? I just want to look at a verse. I'm not trying to pull it out of context. But if we go to 3rd chapter, 1st John, John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Listen, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. So much of Christianity says, look at me, I'm a Christian. John says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If we go on, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And so much, or some of Christianity says, thank God I'm not a sinner. Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am, present tense, chiefest. God's not finished yet, folks. And we are called into eternity in Christ Jesus, but through God manifesting his faithfulness, we do have the hope, the faith, the confidence that in fact God does what he says. So we need to go back to the beginnings. We need to look at what God promised through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, to his people, and that birthright, which was not the Jews. In the Jews, they had the chief ruler, the scepter, the lawgiver, but the birthright belonged to Joseph, synonymous with Israel, synonymous with house of Israel. If you want to open your Bibles and go along with me, we're going to do it rather rapidly, but and folks, look, I'm delivering to you that which I also received. Dr. Gene Scott was my pastor for almost 30 years. I continue in learning his teaching, for which I'm always grateful. And he, more than any I've ever come across, has put God and his control and his faithfulness on display through God's word, of which it is said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as God begins to demonstrate his faithfulness to a man called out of Ur of the Chaldees, his name was Abram, he begins to make promises. You can mark in your Bible, number one, go to Genesis, 12th chapter, 2nd verse, 2nd and 3rd verse. God speaking, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, mark that as number one. We're going, this is what God says he's going to do in the earth through Abraham. Genesis 13:15 is number two. God says to Abram, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Number three, go to Genesis 13:16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. God makes some astounding statements. We are giving a profile of people who are the recipients of the birthright of Abram. Number four, go to Genesis 17, 4 and 5. God speaking, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." Listen, of many nations have I made thee. Promise number five, Genesis 17:6, "And I will make thee," God speaking to Abraham now, father of many nations, "and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." Are you hearing this? How many of you who have been in church all your life or for a little while been taught that God and his chosen people of the Old Testament were the Jews? No doubt they are included. But God makes his promise to Abraham, changes his name. He was not a Jew. But he says, "Through Abraham, nations of thee and kings shall come out of thee." We're not talking about a lineal heritage. We're talking about horizontal nations existing simultaneous, kings simultaneous. Five A, speaking of Sarah, God speaking, says, "And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, and kings of people shall be of her." God narrows it down to that which comes forth out of Abraham, who's 99 years old, whose body for all intent and purposes is dead, and Sarah, 90 years old, who has never borne a child all her life. God makes this impossible statement, impossible promise to them, and the manifestation of that promise is Isaac. Let's go on. Promise number six, Genesis 22:17. "That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. We're talking a birthright promise. We're talking, as 1 Chronicles 5 declares, a promise that is part of the birthright that was given to Joseph, that his seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. That's an entryway into the land of his enemies. It speaks, folks, of gateways, of controlling gateways. What's a gateway? It's a entrance from the seas. Who controlled the seas? Who controlled the Straits of Gibraltar? Who controlled the Cape of Hope? Who controlled the gates of South America and the Falkland Islands? A war, almost, small, short war, was almost fought 30 years ago or so in the Falkland Islands over who had the possession. Entryways, Panama Canal, who controlled it? And so many other gates. I'm asking a question right now. That promise goes on in the 18th verse, the 22nd chapter, and it says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Paul tells us in Galatians that that seed, that particular seed, that individual seed is Christ Jesus our Lord. But God goes beyond and not only is he foretelling history of the coming of the Son of Man to, as a kinsman redeemer, to redeem us, but he's talking about history, his story. As God begins to narrow some of these birthright promises, he does not forget Judah, out of whom David comes, and we started this series in 2 Samuel 7. I would have you mark in your Bible the 10th verse of that chapter as number 8. It says, God speaking through the prophet Nathan, Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel. And I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. David controlled all the land from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea at the time Nathan is speaking to David and making this prophecy. Number 9 would be the 11th verse. And as since the time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house, a dynasty, that is a continual lineage. Number 10 is the 12th verse of this chapter. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Just a little side note. The Hebrew word where it's translated, I will establish. You know what that word is? Amen. No doubt. Established his kingdom. Number 11 is the 13th verse. Speaking of Solomon, and he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish, different word, the throne of his kingdom forever, into eternity. 16th verse is promise number 12. And thine house, thy dynasty, and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now, I'm asking the question, where is that dynasty promised to David? Where is that throne established, amen, forever into eternity? Where is it? You hold to your traditional views, which make void the word of God. Of the history of the Jews, and God did not fulfill this promise. God hides things, you know, folks. But he says there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed. And we, through God's word, are attempting to remove that which was covered to a place of uncovering of God's word, that your faith, the foundation of your faith, may be broadened and strengthened, that through God and his gift of faith, we may overcome all that seems to deny God's promises, that seems to deny his unmerited favor, his grace, that seems to deny his faithfulness, that seems to deny his control, that seems to deny his power. But it is not so as we continue on. We go to Psalm 89. This is promise number 13. Listen to this. I remember years ago, as I began teaching on this subject, which I, at that time, did not intend. This is not number 13. But it says, listen, let's just go here. This is just, these are not marked as promises, but I love God's word. It says, and this is written by Ephraim, by Ethan, an Ezrahite. This is a son of Zarah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have, listen, I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah, think of that. That means stop. What? And concentrate or think on what is being said here. I will establish forever, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of his saints. I, after you finish listening here, would have you go and spend time in this whole 89th Psalm. Not written of, not written by David, but of David, by a descendant of Zarah. Who's Zarah? We'll get to it, just, you know, hang on. Speaking of David, it says in the 25th verse, and this is number 13, 25th verse, Psalm 89, I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. Well, you know, you could rewrite by that and have it not make any connection. But this word translated see can just as equally be translated west. West. The 29th verse is promise number 14. It says, his seed will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Promise number 15 goes from 89:34 through 89:37. Excuse me, 89:33. Speaking of God and his promises to David, it says, nevertheless, my loving kindness, my grace, chesed is the word, translated sometimes mercy, sometimes loving kindness. We can say in the New Testament context, grace, nevertheless, my grace will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness, God speaking, to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. God says, I am God, I change not. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. I want to ask you a question. Is the sun up today? Then David's throne has to be in existence. As the sun came up, so shall his throne. It is established forever as the moon. Last week we had that, you know, so much of the world panting after the activity of the moon and its relationship with the sun. So the moon's still there as a faithful witness in heaven. I'm going to skip the order of a couple of these promises, but we will come back to them. I want you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 33. Go to beginning at the 13th verse. As Moses is repeating the blessings of Israel upon Joseph and his sons, Moses is repeating and expanding these blessings. And it says, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, and for the dew, and for the deep that couches beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things brought forth by the moon, that means in their seasons, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, that's God, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of a bullock, and his horns are like the horns of a unicorn. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And the direction by the Hebrew words is push west. Push west. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim. And they are the thousands of Manasseh. Where in history are these birthright promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob made manifest? Where are the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh? Where? God gives us a clue. We should be looking to the west. I'd love to wrap all this up in one message. It's not going to happen. But why am I doing this? Because I would that your faith be strengthened, and that you understand the wonderful promises of God, wherein Paul describes when he says in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? You got trouble in your life? Doesn't mean God has forsaken you. Or distress? Or persecution? Or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But he goes on to say, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that is our Father and Jesus Christ, who loved us through our Father. Through him, our Father that loved us. Paul says, for I am persuaded, and that is a faith word, folks, I had a good friend die yesterday. I have another old friend facing death. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, or the things that life can bring, nor angels, that is, messengers, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, where in the operation of the gospel, God placed us, where in the declaration of the good news, of the gospel, wherein in the New Testament it is declared that before the foundations of the world, God chose us out from among those he did not choose in Christ and nothing shall separate. From that choosing, as God manifests his power, which we are searching out in history, our confidence in the knowledge of God and of his grace. May grow and grow as we in the inward man are renewed day by day. And that's the God School for today.